Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Preakness Day, second jewel of the Triple Crown. Mark Melusis with you as we continue to break down Preakness 146 later on this afternoon. Field of 10, 647 post. And who better to do it with right now than Matt Bernier joins us. NBC Sports, In the Money Media, a tremendous handicapper joins us now. Good afternoon, Matt. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks for the time. What do you make of it? You know, clearly, obviously, you're a big thoroughbred fan. You make a living out of it. You're great at what you do. I'm a big horse racing fan, Matt. It's unfortunate everything that has surrounded Medina Spirit and Bob Baffert this week.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to sum things up. It feels like the main event is supposed to be the second jewel in the United States Triple Crown, and for all the reasons that we are well aware of, the headline has been Bob Baffert and another medication overage, and it just kind of takes the shine off of the event a little bit, in my opinion, and also it reflects poorly on the racing industry as a whole. It makes it seem as though, and rightfully so, that we can't get our own act together. We can't police ourselves, and, there's a part of me, and maybe this is foolish because things have not changed for many, many years, but I would like to think this is that sort of aha or that wake-up moment where the powers that be sort of assess the situation and say, we can't continue on like this.
No, agreed. I mean, totally agree. And there needs to be kind of a commission of thoroughbred racing to prevent this because, you know, thoroughbred racing can afford and continue to afford the black eyes and the negative press and everything that comes along with it. You know, Matt, before we get your thoughts on the field, do you think Medina Spirit should be running this afternoon?
Yeah, honestly, I do, because it's one of those things, if all the tests, which it sounds like they have all come back clean and we have no issues, I see no reason why he should be ineligible to run in this race. It doesn't necessarily mean I believe he shouldn't be disqualified, assuming the split sample comes back and confirms that overage from the Derby. I mean, I believe he should be disqualified from that spot. But as far as today's race is concerned, I think so long as everything, and again, we have no reason to think otherwise, as long as everything came back clean, I think he deserves to run this afternoon.
All right, Matt, let's get your thoughts on this field. How good of a field of 10 do you think this is?
I would call it mediocre at best, and I don't say that trying to be mean or anything, but at the same time, many of the best horses of this crop, of this three-year-old generation, they've chosen to bypass this race, and you can understand why. Many of them running the biggest race of their lives just 2 weeks earlier in Louisville, many of them are pointing to Belmont Stakes Day or some of the races over the summer, whether it's at Saratoga or at Monmouth down on the Jersey Shore. And really, if you don't have an incentive to run in a race like the Preakness, I feel like you don't really have any desire to. You might as well plan accordingly for bigger and better things down the road. So the field as a whole, it's mediocre. I think it's decent. You've got a couple of nice horses in there, but this is far from, you know, the Rachel Alexandras of the world, the American Pharaohs of the world. This race leaves a little bit to be desired.
All right, when you look at the field of 10, Matt, how deep do you think win contention goes? Like, how deep can I make an argument where I believe if everything breaks right, a horse can win?
Well, I personally have it narrowed down to two, maybe three. I'm sure some people would go out as far as four. I'm just vehemently against Concert Tour, the other Baffert horse in here. And from a talent standpoint, he may be every bit as talented as some of the other horses in here. I personally am still not convinced that he really is a two-turn kind of animal. I think he may actually wind up being an exceptional one-turn, sort of seven furlong or a mile type, as opposed to these longer distances. And also from a tactical standpoint, I think he's really the one who could end up being, I don't want to say up against it, but the loser, because it's very unlikely both Baffert horses, who their main game is speed, they're not going to duel each other into the ground. And I think a horse like Medina Spirit breaking toward the inside is going to be the one that goes on with the initiative. And unfortunately for a horse like Concert Tour, I think he's going to be taken out of his element enough where at a short price I want to fade him. So I've narrowed it down to three win contenders, the three Medina Spirit, the four Crowded Trade, and the five Midnight Bourbon.
All right, so let's get to those win contenders. How about Medina Spirit, even with all the stuff surrounding the three-year-old and Baffert and his camp? Got a perfect trip in the Kentucky Derby under John Velasquez, 9-5 on the morning line. What's your biggest concern with Medina Spirit later on this afternoon?
I suppose the only real concern would be if, for whatever reason, he doesn't get out of the gate alertly and doesn't procure the lead early, because my sort of working hypothesis is this is a horse who needs the lead to be at his best. He's never really passed a horse if he needs to. And when he's gotten to the front, he's never let anyone by. So assuming he breaks alertly, I think he goes right to the front and he's going to be very difficult to run down. The only stumbling block, no pun intended, may be if for whatever reason he doesn't get out of the gates cleanly and can't get that lead early on.
All right. How about the five Midnight Bourbon, Matt? 5-1 on the morning line. Everywhere I turn, you're not alone, and I kind of like Midnight Bourbon later on today as well. I mean, he got no trip whatsoever, finished 6th in the Kentucky Derby. We're coming back here. If he gets a better trip, sits right off the lead. What about Midnight Bourbon? You like him on the win end as one of the three that can win this race. How do you think it plays out if Midnight Bourbon is victorious?
Well, and you alluded to that Kentucky Derby trip. It was more or less a no-hope sort of situation for him. He's a horse that likes to be more forward, close to the front end throughout, and he broke a hair on the slow side in Louisville, ended up carrying a great deal of ground. He was very wide throughout. So the sixth place finish, I think, is actually a little bit better than maybe the paper would suggest. As far as today's race is concerned, the way that I kind of project things to go, I think the two Baffert horses go right to the front, and I think Midnight Bourbon and Errat Ortiz Jr., I think they sort of just sit that pocket trip right in behind a horse like Medina Spirit, and he's going to be more in his element, I think, this afternoon, where I don't know that you can look at it and say the trip is the thing that'll get this horse beat. Either Midnight Bourbon is good enough or he's not. I find it very difficult to believe he'll lose because of some sort of unfortunate trip.
All right, how about the Brown trainee? He's got two in here. You like the four Crowded Trade, 10-1 in the morning line, after what was a real nice run in the wood.
I have to be honest, I've come around on this horse. I was very dubious leading into it, and the more and more I went through his past performances and just the overall progression for him through three lifetime starts. I mean, the entire lot here, owner, trainer, and rider, this is the same outfit that teamed up in 2017 to win the Preakness with Cloud Computing, and it's almost a carbon copy as far as the way he's coming into this race. Granted, Cloud Computing ran against some track biases back in 2017, but Crowded Trade, from a speed figure standpoint, maybe he slowed down a little bit in the wood, but I think that had more to do with the fact that he made a big move into the fastest part of the pace. And at the top of the lane, he looked like a winner, and he just flattened out down the stretch. I feel like with a better timed ride, and now you've got Javier Castellano aboard, I could see Crowded Trade sitting sort of that mid-pack trip, maybe four or five lengths off of it, and starting to warm things up, entering the far turn. I really come around on him. I don't know that he's a likely winner. I don't know that he's a likely upsetter of Medina Spirit, but he is a horse I could see possibly getting it done.
I want to get your thoughts, Matt, and we're talking to Matt Bernier, NBC Sports, and also In the Money Media. He's great. Thoroughbred Racing, the Preakness Stakes later on this afternoon down at Pimlico. Tonight, 6:47 is the post time, field of 10. I want to get your thoughts, Matt, on the other Brown trainee, and that being Risk Taking, who was the odds-on favorite in the wood, had no excuses in the race, just had nothing in the stretch. 15-1, skipped the Peter Pan last weekend out at Belmont Park. Brown puts him into the Preakness later on today, and you're getting 15-1. Do you believe that maybe he bounced in the wood, that we're going to get kind of a step forward from Risk Taking this afternoon, or no?
I mean, I was as disappointed as anyone with that performance in the wood, because I really was a believer in this horse after the Withers. He still felt like he was a little bit green figuring things out on the racetrack. And to your point, Mark, he was just terrible in the Wood Memorial. There was really no excuse. He never threatened at any point. And I suppose we could look at it and say, well, maybe he just regressed from the withers, you know, a little bit of a bounce, and now we're rounding back into form. And you can also look at it and say, this is a very confident move to bypass the local prep for the Belmont Stakes last weekend and the Peter Pan to go here and ship to Baltimore. But at the same time, I just have such a hard time taking him off of such a poor race. You know, I was able to forgive Mandaloon's poor effort in the Louisiana Derby because he had already run fast. Risk-taking, I think he's capable of better, but when push comes to shove, he's yet to run all that fast, and that's why I'm going to lean against him in this spot as opposed to, you know, I was on Mandaloon for the Kentucky Derby, and for that reason, I was able to say, you know what, if he gets back to that high 90 buyer speed figure he had earned down at the fairgrounds, he's in with a chance. Unfortunately for risk-taking, a high 80 buyer is not going to be good enough to get the job done here in Baltimore.
Matt, we're looking at, you know, long shots this afternoon. Anybody that's, you know, 15, 20 to 1 on the morning line today that you think has got an opportunity to outrun their odds, maybe round out those exotics?
I really believe in the Japanese-based horse, France Go to Ina. And, you know, I think you summed it up perfectly. I think he can outrun his odds. Maybe he's not a likely win contender, but don't let that UAE Derby be sort of your barometer for this horse's ability. As a two-year-old in Japan, he was very good. He did some great things, going distances that are testing for a young horse. UAE Derby, he got out of the gate a little bit on the sluggish side. He got pinched back toward the rear. Joel Rosario, who was riding him over at Maidan, he unfortunately ran up into a couple of spots of traffic and eventually had a little bit of run at the end. I think he's much better than what we saw in that spot. And he's also a horse who has more speed than what we saw over in Dubai. So I don't think he's entirely out of the question to run third or fourth if you're somebody playing a trifecta or a superfecta. He's probably going to be pretty darn close to that 20-1 morning line, if I had to guess.
A couple more horses, Matt, that I want to ask you about in the field this afternoon. Number six, I've heard a lot of people think that maybe Rombauer, very talented three-year-old, 12-1 on the morning line, might not be this race, but it's going to be a three-year-old that you're going to hear about, you know, maybe later on the spring or into the summer. What about the six and Rombauer's chances this afternoon?
You know, I was really high on him as a two-year-old. I actually had picked him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and with the way the pace set up that day, I just expected a little bit more out of him. And in his two starts as a three-year-old, you know, the El Camino Real Derby was really an impressive effort. The problem is he just doesn't have any real sort of early speed. Then you see the Bluegrass, where he actually was closer to the pace, but that was more a product of the fact that there was genuinely no speed whatsoever in the race. That was when Highly Motivated went to the front in Essential Quality. That just off. Rombauer, to me, I think he has a great deal of ability. I'm still not convinced, as more and more time goes by, that dirt is actually where he's going to do his best, despite the fact that two of his fastest races to date have come on the main track. I think he could be a very interesting turf horse as we go out, as we go through this 2021 season.
All right, how about the last one for you, Matt, and that would be the eight Unbridled Honor at 15-1 on the morning line.
Another horse, I think there is some ability here. My concern is twofold. Todd Pletcher typically doesn't target a race like the Preakness. He just doesn't. Especially, I think a lot of it has to do with the sort of how close the Kentucky Derby is to races at Belmont Park, specifically on Belmont Stakes Day. And again, Todd's a New York guy. So that concerns me a little bit. And also, the fastest race to date from this horse came in his most recent start. It was over a sloppy sealed track down at Keeneland, and that was a day where the pace was absolutely electric. He's not going to get either of those this afternoon. And if you go just based on his dry main track form, he has a lot of work to do. To me, I'm going to side against him and throw him out and hope that he's the kind of horse that as we continue on through his three-year-old year, we continue to see that sort of improvement.
All right, the Preakness later on tonight. All right, Matt, let's make our audience a little bit of money here. How are you going to attack the race? I know there's not as much value in the Preakness as there was in the Derby, but what's going to be your betting approach and how are you going to be playing the Preakness 146 today?
To me, this is a spot where you really emphasize your opinion. I can't imagine Medina Spirit finishing out at the top two, so I'm going to key him in first and in second, and I'm going to use the four and the five horse in second and in first as far as exactas are concerned. So some sort of a weighted exacta with Medina Spirit in first and Crowded Trade and Midnight Bourbon in second. And then as a bit of a saver going the opposite direction, maybe for half as much, have the four Crowded Trade, the five Midnight Bourbon, both in first, and Medina Spirit in second.
Are you going to be playing any tries or supers tonight, Matt, in the Preakness, or no?
If anything, they're going to be very, very small ones. And the only reason that I'm intrigued or possibly thinking about it is simply because I'm going to be against Crowded Trade. Concert Tour. And if he runs out of it, this thing could end up being a little bit healthier than maybe it seems at face value. But having said that, I also do acknowledge that while I don't like him, Concert Tour is one of the better horses in the race, and this could easily be a boat race where the two Bafferts go 1-2. So I'm leaning away from the tries and the supers, maybe a little bit of a dabble, but the vast majority of the play is going to go into those weighted exactas.
Matt Bernier, NBC Sports, In the Money Media, and he also has, I think, the best beard. He really does. I mean, it's just an absolute thing of beauty. You must spend hours working on your beard game. Is that true, Matt, or no?
No, I tell you what, the beautiful thing about living in New England is in the winter, you can just let it go. You don't have to worry about it. It's cold and we got snow. And once you get to the spring, you want to clean it up a little bit. You line it up here and there and you're good to go. But it's like anything else. When you become sort of an expert on it, you can just blow through it in no time.
Oh, there you go. Well, you make it look easy, Matt, I'll tell you. I love you, brother. You do a great job on NBC. Love your work as a handicapper, and really appreciate you hopping on and joining me and talking a little Preakness, all right?
Thanks, Mark. Good luck.
You got it. Matt Bernier, NBC Sports, In the Money Media. He gave you the most likely three winners. He is a big fan of Medina Spirit as well in the Preakness to be contested later on this afternoon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.